So I have to start today doing something we all love doing, asking for forgiveness. I had the honor of introducing this series a few weeks ago. I got to introduce this new 9 Holy Virtue series, and I got to talk about ones. And during the intro, I asked all of you to promise not to weaponize the Enneagram against ourselves or against others. And then right after I asked you all to make that commitment and even made you say it out loud like a cult kind of thing, I actually fell into using the exact language that weaponizes this work and actually the language that turned me against the Enneagram for a really long time. I found the type with which I connected a lot, and I used language that made it seem as though I identified with only that type. And I used the language, I am a one, multiple times throughout my teaching. And I want to apologize for that. Because one, that is doing exactly what I asked you all to commit to not doing. But two, there's so many problems with that language. First and foremost, saying I am this and minimizing what we are is actually limiting who God made us to be. Because, church, please hear me, you are so much more than one type. You are so much more than one type. And here's the truth about me. When I have been reading and researching and learning about the Enneagram, preparing for this series, there are things about every single type I resonate with. There are things I connect with, and there are things I love about every type, and I learn from every type. And so using the language of I am this thing actually limits God's endless creativity in making us uniquely and making us individually. There are almost 8 billion people on this earth. There are probably more than 9 personalities. And those of you who know the Enneagram, you're going, but there are wings and there are this and there are more personality types than that. There are, I mean, even in our church of 40 or 50, there are more personality types than that because we have been made so uniquely and so individually. The other thing about that language that can cause a problem is that it limits our openness to learning from other types. If I decide I am this, then I'm really just learning about that other language for other people. I don't need to learn about threes because I'm not a three, but, well, Mike needs to learn about threes, right? It limits my openness to learning about these other types. And so it prevents us from actually connecting with the parts of us that resonate with each type. It prevents us from learning from each type where we can grow in each type. And what's different? Where we can grow? What we love about those types that we might not bring? Because ultimately, that language prevents us from recognizing that we need the Holy Spirit's help in developing all of these virtues. We're talking about the 9 holy virtues in this series. And let's be honest, I don't care what type you resonate with most. We can all use more serenity, right? We can all use more humility. We can all use more truthfulness. We can all use more contentment. So instead of saying, I am this, let's pray and let's ask God, let's ask the Holy Spirit which one he wants to grow in us right now, which one he wants us to focus on instead of assuming we know what's best. Hey, humility. The other thing this does is it makes these types seem like silos. That if I am this, I can't be that. And instead of thinking it in that way, maybe we think of it on a scale, right? On a sliding scale of, hey, with ones, here's where I fall. With twos, here's where I fall. With threes, here's where I fall. Because the chances are pretty good. You got a little bit of each of these in you. And so your unique combination of these types maybe is closer than just identifying, I am this type. So here's my challenge for you all, and I am 100% included in this. We're now halfway through the series, right? We're in week 4 of a 9-week series. Let's try to avoid saying, I am a blank. Let's try to avoid that language. Let's try to avoid siloing it. Let's try to avoid saying, this is what I am and this alone is what I am. Now, I know that's tough, especially if you've taken a ton of Enneagram tests or you've read a ton of books or you've talked to a lot of people about it. But my goal in this challenge is hopefully that this will stop us limiting ourselves and make us able to learn from all of them. So ask yourself, what about this type can I connect to? What about this type can I learn from? What about this type can I connect with other parts of my life? What about this type can I connect with other people in my life? Let's be open to learning about ourselves and other people from every single type. Challenge accepted?
Yep.
Awesome. Thank you. And again, my apologies for going right into that language. Thank you. Thank you. So today we get to talk about fours, the romantic. And as I was reading about fours, I was reminded of a very, very special friend I have in my life. When my dad had his heart attack when I was 15, he was taken to the hospital and he was in surgery for a very, very long time. And my mom and I were at the hospital and a friend of mine came to actually visit me at the hospital. And we had been inside the hospital. We'd been in that room where they put the families for a really long time. And so she said, why don't we just go outside? And so we did, and we walked for a really long time together. And as this friend and I were walking, sometimes we talked, sometimes we didn't. Sometimes I was really scared. Sometimes I just wanted to be distracted. Sometimes I wanted to laugh. Sometimes we just stopped walking and just stood there. But regardless of what we were doing, she was just there. She was just there with me. And since that time, she is actually the friend, since my dad has passed, that checks in with me every year. And she sits with me. She will meet me in my pain and my mourning. She will meet me in these hilarious memories as they come up. She will meet me in the joy. She will meet me in the freedom. She will meet me wherever I am, whatever I'm feeling. She can be there with me. And this is truly the gift of those who identify a lot with fours. They are the least likely to see you as a project. They're the least likely to try to fix you. They can sit with you in tension. They can sit with you in pain. They can sit with you in the mess. And they can just be present with you and just be with you. And man, what a gift that is. That's the power of a four. So fours are the romantic. And the really important thing about fours is that they are feelings. They don't have feelings. They are their feelings. Feelings are the basis of their identity, and they want supersized feelings. So one of the fears that fours have is that they don't want to be normal. And so anything that they feel, when they feel a normal-sized emotion, they want to expand on it. They want it to be supersized and oversized. And because of the intensity of their emotions and their unpredictable moods, it requires that people in their life are incredibly understanding, incredibly patient, and very, very appreciative of their uniqueness and their authenticity. But fours are pretty much constantly in a state of flux. Their emotions, their moods are like fast-changing weather patterns. It's like weather in Chicago. Like, oh, it's sunny. Oh, 3 hours later, it's a torrential downpour. Okay, got it. And so because these emotions are changing so rapidly, if their identity is hitched to their emotions, then their identity is always changing as well. And so what happens is, unfortunately, fours are very, very often misunderstood. Fours experience melancholy. Melancholy is a sadness, but it's okay, I'm sad. They understand sadness is a part of life. They understand sadness is a part of the journey. But unfortunately, because so many other types want to fix, right? And we don't like emotion and we don't like negative emotion, whatever a negative emotion is. We don't like negative emotions. People will often name fours as depressed, as something being wrong with them. And so it can be a lot for others to be around that, right? Particularly people who want to hide their emotions or deny their feelings. And so the passion and the intensity that fours bring to the table is very, very often misunderstood. And again, fours actually kind of don't mind that because they want to be special and they want to be unique. But the problem is the only way they recapture this feeling that something's missing at their core, which we'll talk about more in a little bit, is that they establish this very unique image, this unique identity, something to distinguish them from everyone else. And they still want to belong, but they work so hard to project this special image, this unique image, that they actually act out in ways that make fitting in harder. And the problem is, fours really are so special, and they are so incredibly unique, and they're so valuable, but they don't know it, and they don't see it, and so they work so hard to create this uniqueness or create this specialness in their own power at often really, really high costs. So based on all of this, it probably makes sense that fours are actually the most complex type. What you see is very rarely what you get. And this search for authenticity means everything. And so another one of the gifts that fours have is that they can spot posers a mile away. They can tell if someone's being fake, if someone's off, if someone's lying. But another problem that they have is that they wrestle with dissatisfaction. Fours always want what's unavailable. And when it becomes available to them, then they go, no, I don't really want that now. I want that. And so there's this incredible dissatisfaction because they want what's unavailable to them. And so the sin that fours wrestle with a lot is the sin of envy. Now, please hear me. This isn't envy because of the clothes you have or the car you drive or the job you have. No, that's more jealousy. This sin is envy. They long for your comfort in the world. They long for how you feel in the world and how you fit in the world, how you're a part of the world around you. And so it's much more about a characteristic or a feeling that you have. They think your life is less threatening and less complicated. And the whole social media thing of the tip of the iceberg and only posting things that have filtered is destroying poor fours. They compare themselves to others all the time and constantly feel inferior. And unfortunately, this can actually cause a problem because they long so deeply for what they don't have that they often miss what they do have. They take grass is always greener to a whole other level, and they don't even realize they have a yard, much less grass in their yard. And so envy really relates closely to this deep fear of abandonment, and we'll talk more about that here in a little bit. But the other interesting piece that I was reading about that relates to what we've been talking about a lot as a church is that this envy can actually lead fours to a very, very deep-rooted shame. They believe they don't measure up in a core, fundamental way, that something in their person is missing, something fundamental to their being is missing, and they are incomplete because of it, and they are unworthy because of it. And so when something bad happens, it's actually them believing not only is it their fault, but proving clearly I am inadequate. This is proof that I really am missing something. That if I could just be more, if I could do more, if I could achieve more, be different, be someone else, be more exceptional, then I would be lovable. And then I would be loved. And so the virtue then that fours can work toward to battle that envy is contentment. Contentment. And again, contentment isn't just sunshine, rainbows, and lollipops. It's going to be okay, right? This rootless optimism. That's not contentment. Contentment is understanding you have enough of what you really need. You do. You have enough of what you really need. And contentment is also being in the present. One of the things fours struggle with is getting pulled to the future and desperately hoping things are going to change and looking for those things, longing for those things that the future might hold. Or it's in the past. What if I had acted differently? Maybe that was better for me. Maybe I should go back to that. Maybe the past, they romanticize the past rather than recognizing no. Contentment is the present. Contentment is being where your feet are. And contentment is feeling satisfaction, not just with where you are, but what God has given you in this moment. And so noticing when we're drifting, noticing when we're getting out of the present, and noticing when we're losing the satisfaction of being right here and being right now. So what does contentment really look like? Well, Contentment, point number one, is recognizing that God understands your emotions. God understands your emotions because God feels them too. When I read the New Testament, when I read the Gospels, I am floored by the emotional awareness Jesus has and the way he expresses his emotions. Jesus weeps after loss. Jesus gets angry at those who oppress others. Jesus feels frustration when people refuse to understand what he's telling them. He feels agony at his impending suffering. He feels empathy for the pain and the struggle of others. He feels joy when he pleases his Father. He feels the wide range of emotions. So ignoring, shoving down emotions, pushing emotions away, denying them, that's not Christ-like. It's not. Christ expressed his emotions. He felt his emotions. But let me be very clear. Overindulging our emotions also isn't Christ-like. Jesus felt, but Jesus didn't sin. When I was up here a few weeks ago teaching on ones, I mentioned Ephesians 4:26, and I think it's important to mention again. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Some of us need to hear this scripture to realize we need to feel our emotions. We need to express our emotions, but some others of us need to hear this verse and recognize, do not let the sun go down on these emotions. Don't let these emotions take us over. Don't let these emotions control us. We are not our emotions. That is not our identity. The problem that fours can run into. You know, I mentioned my friend and how beautiful it was, the gift she gave me of sitting with me in my pain and my hurt and my mourning. But the problem is pain and mess are so comfortable for fours that unhealthy fours actually will manufacture or discover pain and mess and drama to feel normal. That's where they feel comfortable. And so if things are too good, they might try to build something up to feel that normal again. So one of the gifts of contentment is learning how to regulate, to feel, but to also stabilize emotions. How to observe what I'm feeling, but to detach from what I'm feeling. To recognize I don't feel great right now. But that doesn't change who I am and who my identity is in. And we'll get there in a little bit. And so contentment really is this ability to remain emotionally composed. That doesn't mean ignoring emotions. It just means that you're not succumbing to the emotion. Remaining steady regardless of what's happening around us. And remembering that having regular emotions doesn't make us less special. So contentment is understanding that God recognizes your emotions. Contentment is also recognizing that God sees you, he loves you, and he will never leave you. Let me say that again. He sees you, he loves you, and he will never leave you. Fours, again, struggle with abandonment. They feel as though they're different. They have felt separated from other people their entire life. In fact, they can actually be seen as troublemakers a lot by other people, particularly people who want to fix those negative emotions, who want to fix discomfort. And the problem is when fours don't know how to express their feelings well, how to cope with their feelings well, those in relationships with them tend to withdraw. They tend to pull back because it can be a lot. It can be intense when we aren't used to those emotions. But the problem is that feeds into four's greatest fear. Four's greatest fear is the fear of abandonment. And so there creates this push-pull dance, right? A four is so scared that they're going to be abandoned. They're so scared that people are going to leave them that they start nitpicking. They start looking for problems so they can leave before you do. But then when you do leave, when they leave, when there is separation, then they realize, but what if you were the one? But what if you were perfect for me? What if this was my fault? And then they try to bring you back in. And again, it's that longing for the unavailable. And so there really is this push and pull. Because ultimately what they're trying to find is the perfect someone. They're trying to find the person that's going to fulfill them. And they push people away when they start realizing you aren't perfect. But when people leave and abandon them, it justifies their belief that they're unworthy of love, of relationship, and so on. And so contentment really is, church, God will never leave you. Please rest in that truth. God will never leave you. Amen? Amen. God will never leave you. And I know some of you have heard that since childhood. I don't care. You need to hear it more. God will never leave you. Yes, people, humans, will make mistakes. People will fall short. We will. We are imperfect. God, though, God is always with you. He's always caring for you. He's always guiding you. I was so inspired preparing this week and reading some of these scriptures. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. We don't avoid fear by just moving into things. We avoid fear because we recognize that God has us. We avoid fear because it's God going before us. And not only does he go before us, but he also goes with us. How? I don't know. He's God. He can do it. He goes before us. He goes with us and he has us. Doesn't mean it's always going to look great. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But if we have him, we have all we need. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, courage isn't just, I feel great because I know I can do this. That is not courage. That is a lie. Courage is knowing God is with me. Courage is praying to God, God, I can't do this without you. If you want me to do this, you've got to do it. That's true courage. Courage is stepping forward with the fear. Courage is knowing God's going to ask the most of us when we have the least to give. And saying, God, here I am. Your will be done. Because you're going before me and you have me. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. What? Stop it. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. His love is so overwhelming, it brings us peace. He will exult over you with loud singing. God is singing about you. What? That's how much God loves you. He is always with you. That's contentment. Resting that God is with us. So contentment recognizes that God understands your emotions. Contentment recognizing that God sees you, loves you, and will never leave you. Contentment also recognizes that God has given you everything you need. Everything you need. Fours need to hear that there is nothing missing. Because that goes against that belief they have had about themselves their whole life. They look elsewhere to fulfill that gap. They need to fill that gap. So they look everywhere around them. And they feel as though as soon as they have that other thing or that other person, then they're going to feel complete. Then they're going to have what's missing. But here's the truth, church. God is all we need. Psalm 73, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. God didn't say, I looked at everything I made, and like 8/9 of them were good, but this one type that I made, ooh, messed up on that one. Dang it. Well, go anyways. Good luck. God saw it was good. God knew we were going to sin. God knew we weren't going to be perfect. God knew we were going to be flawed. but he is glad at how he made you. You're not missing anything. Psalm 139:14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Recognize that you were created by God. Recognize that he is providing for you in ways that you don't even understand right now. 1 Corinthians 12:18-20. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. I know we talk about this a lot in our church, but it's so important to keep reminding ourselves. We can't all be feet. Can't all be fingers. Do you know how creepy the human body would look if we were just fingers? It'd be weird. I don't want to see it. I feel like that's a horror movie, okay? There's a reason God made us all so different. You being different than other people, that's good. That's good. Stop looking at the hand and going, well, I just had to be a stupid calf. What do I even do? Have you ever hurt your calf? I had a workout one time. I did a ton of calf raises, elevated calf raises. I couldn't walk for like a week. It looked like I had stilts on. I couldn't move my ankles. Stairs, don't even get me started. Your calf is so important. Anytime you injure a body part, you all of a sudden recognize how important that body part is. Every single part is important. Every single part is important. Rather than dwelling on the gifts of other people, rather than dwelling on, but they get to do this and they're so good at doing that, contentment brings your attention to the present. Contentment sees how God is using you. God has blessed you with gifts. Contentment is praising God for those gifts he's given you. And contentment is praising God. He gave those gifts to other people. Because ultimately, I don't want that gift. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of work to have that gift, right? It's honoring God. Thank you. Thank you for what you have given me. And thank you for not giving me some of those other things. Because who knows what would have happened if you did. So contentment recognizes God understands your emotions. It recognizes that God will never leave you. It recognizes that God has given you everything you need. And contentment finds its identity in Christ. Contentment finds its identity in Christ. Again, fours have really never had a stable sense of identity. They're looking around for this other person who will complete them, who will overcome their feelings of unworthiness. And they firmly believe that the right person will complete them. Let me be honest, that person exists. It's Jesus. That's who will complete you. That's who will fill you. That's who will fill that longing inside of you. But when we look for it anywhere else, we will be disappointed. We will get hurt. We will get harmed. Absolutely will cause problems. There is no perfect relationship except God's love for us. That is perfect. Contentment lies in accepting what is and asking the Spirit to help us grow and to help us accept his love. There are so many verses about finding our identity in Christ and who we are in Christ. So dive in. You might think, well, but she didn't talk about this one. Talk about it. Great. Let's talk about it. But the few that really stood out to me as I was preparing, 1 Peter 2:9-10. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You are one of God's people. That's an identity to cling to. That's an identity to find fullness in. Words are hard. John 1:12-13. But to all who did receive him, who received Jesus, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Your identity is as a child of God. Trying to fill that identity with anything else leads to disappointment and struggle because everything else will fail. Money will fail, jobs will fail, people will fail, everything else will fail, but God will remain. And I can speak that because for a very long period of time, I sought fulfillment in everything else. Everything else, and it just led to problems. I'm so grateful we sang that song today. I searched the world and it couldn't fill me. That's the struggle fours live daily. They have this emptiness and they are searching the world to try to fill it. And God is just waiting. He's just waiting because he can fill that. Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. God always had a way to adopt us back into his family. From go, he always knew how we would be adopted back, and we no longer have to search for who we are. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then right here, right now, in this moment, you are a child of God. You are. That's who you are. No, you're not perfect. I'm glad you're sitting down. No, you're not perfect. Yes, you will make mistakes. No, the people around you are not perfect. Yes, they will fail. They will fall short. They will make mistakes. But God is working to grow you. God will perfect you in eternity. And guess what? As you are right here, right now, you are his child. Again, that song we sang, nothing is better than you. May we live that, King. May we believe that truth. So what's our path toward virtue? If you feel like you resonate a lot with this four type, if you know people in your life who you feel like resonate a lot with this four type, what's our path toward virtue? Well, it's going to sound familiar. God has given you all you need, and you are his. God has given you all you need, and you are his. Who you are has nothing to do with what people think of you, has nothing to do with your past, has nothing to do with what you have. And honestly, I don't care what number resonates with you a lot. We all need to hear that. We all need to hear that. But those who resonate a lot with four want to be known for who they really are. And so let's work to give all of us, let's work to give each other, regardless of what type we identify with, the gift of being with each other, sitting with each other, honoring each other wherever we are. Those who resonate a lot with four want trust. They want steady attention in relationships. They need people in their lives who know how to detach without withdrawing, who know how to separate out from a situation without leaving a situation, who can listen without agreeing, who don't necessarily get sucked into that weather pattern of those changing moods, who don't leave them, who can acknowledge what they are feeling, who understand that melancholy and depression are not the same thing, who understand that sadness has a place in our life. Another thing that we can do, again, for everyone, but especially for those who identify a lot as fours, avoid accusing them of being too sensitive or overreacting. But be honest about how their changing moods impact you, right? Because fours really value that authenticity. This really is, church, the most empathetic type. It is the type that, again, can just be with you and sit with you. And I think it's a wonderful thing that we can all learn from this type and a gift that we can give everyone around us. Let's all remind each other that we see competence in each other, we see value in each other, and that we are all loved because they rarely, fours particularly, rarely see that in themselves. And let's also encourage each other to stay in the present, right? To focus on what we have, to focus on what God has done instead of focusing on what we don't have. Let's focus on the truth that God has given us all we need and that he has us and we are his. Pray with me, church. Father God, thank you so much again for this time. Thank you for the beautiful gift of this type, this personality that holds space for emotions that so many of us, for one reason or another, don't want to acknowledge, that we don't want to feel, that we don't want to experience. May we learn from this type. May we learn from the gifts you've given this type. And may we remind all of us, God, how good you are. That when we have you, we have everything that we need. When we have you, when we face obstacles, we can keep our eyes on you. That you, God, are our courage and our strength. May we find peace in that. And Holy Spirit, would you work in us this week to develop contentment? True contentment that rests in you. Thank you so much for this time, for these people. Bless us with more and more of you this week, please, King. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much for your time and your energy today. Enjoy the beautiful weather. It's going to get warm today. It's going to be sunny. My goodness gracious, praise God. If you wouldn't mind just folding the chairs and stacking them up, that would be amazing. Hang out, enjoy, happy Sunday, and we'll see you all next week. Thank you, everybody.
It's frightening. You see right through the mess inside me. And you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what.